Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Welcome to Investing Simplified. This is the opportunity for you to ask that question that's been keeping you up at night. In studio, we got a full house in the studio. Write these numbers down because hopefully we're going to have a lot of calls and a lot of feedback today. You can call 503-417-9595 or toll free 877-733-1011 for podcast listeners. You can also ask questions online at investingsimplifiedradio.com. That's investingsimplifiedradio.com. We have a little sheet there. You can go back and forth and ask questions right online while we're on the radio station. So pick it up and do it. That's our podcast is on there. You can ask a question. In studio with me today is Carl Jepson.
Good morning.
Attorney at Law, Kevin Stege, Baker Colson CPA Firm.
Hello, gentlemen.
And we got a special guest today, Michael Standard, who is a reverse mortgage specialist. And Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chuck.
And, you know, I'm just going to say a couple quick things here about the market, what's going on. The first thing I want to say is all of our prayers and thoughts go out to all the people in the panhandle of Florida, Georgia, and all the other states that have been hit. I know the report now is 17 dead, but I saw a report on the news the other night that potentially $20 million, $20 billion, yeah, of losses. And so, folks, those people are going to be devastated for some time. So our prayers and thoughts go out with them, and we hope nobody else loses their life.
Amen.
But, you know, things like this happen, and you just have to buckle up and go forward. You know, the markets got tumbled a lot this last week. In fact, the markets have gotten beat up really bad the last week. And I do want to point out that the S&P is still positive year-to-date, 3.5% up, and the Dow Jones is up 2.5%. But, boy, I'll tell you, this week was rocky, and it was almost like a month in a week. So very volatile. We'll get more into that if you have questions about it, but I'm going to jump right into our special guest today because this is something that Michael's been talking to me for some time, trying to get me to sit down with him. I just have been very busy, and I've used reverse mortgage for some of our clients. We don't do them, so I have to rely on somebody like him that I can refer to. And here's the thing about a reverse mortgage. Most of us are busy accumulating money, paying off our mortgage, living our lives, planning our retirement, and we just think about the home as, you know, it's a roof over our head. It's a place where we're gonna sack out at night and then go from there. But you don't think about it as a financial tool, and that's one of the areas, you know, we've talked to our clients about it, but it's something that we, from a standpoint of regulatory, we can't do. And so we're going to talk about reverse mortgages. Listen, if you're over 62, and I think it's 62, right?
That's right.
If you're over 62, or you know somebody that's over 62, and they're struggling in their retirement, and they own a home, you don't need to pick up the phone, call them, and tell them to listen to this show. Because we're going to talk about something that can actually maybe save their retirement for them, maybe save their lifestyle for them, or give them a better lifestyle. Michael, what is a reverse mortgage?
Well, a reverse mortgage is actually now called a home equity conversion mortgage, and it's called a HECM, H-E-C-M. It was designed and changed in October of 2017, and the purpose of this new mortgage, which some people refer to as the old reverse mortgage, is to keep people in their homes and to keep them aging in place, because HUD, which is our government, sees one big issue. Our third largest debt is Medicaid. And these seniors, we've got 10,000 of them turning 62 a day. That's a tidal wave. That's a tsunami of people potentially going on Medicaid. If that happens, we all pay more taxes. They get less choices. They don't have a place to go unless they go into a Medicaid facility. So this is a way that HUD has said, we're going to make this easy. We're going to make this safe. And we want people to be able to age in place and enjoy their lives.
And a reverse mortgage can be used by anybody who has a home or a residence that they're residing in.
Correct. If they have 50% or more equity in the home, even if they have a loan on it, they can use it, okay, to pay off their existing mortgage and not have to make mortgage payments again.
So if let's say they had 25% a mortgage loan against their house, they had 75% equity, they could actually pay off that 25% and even access another 25%.
That's correct.
Of their home.
Right.
To use that money for whatever they may need to do.
That's right. And there's been some major changes to the product. I just want to walk you through that. We can go through this often as new listeners come on the air. But some major changes happened in October of 2017. That's why I do this. This is why I'm passionate about this, is because they did something that was really wise. They require, for this to be a HECM through the government, they require FHA insurance on the loan, on the property. So the kids are now insured. So when they pass away, if the home is upside down, the loan's higher than the value of the home, they can sell it. The FHA insurance pays for it. The kids do not have to declare bankruptcy. So they've made it very safe. They've also lowered the limit people can take out. They don't want people to go upside down too quickly, because these are negative amortization loans, which means you don't have to make payments unless you want to. So it's going to grow over time.
Okay, so this, just so I understand this, because I want to make sure our listeners get this. Let's say somebody has a home worth $500,000. They make a $250,000 reverse, HECM loan. I'll call them HECM loan. Yeah, I like that, HECM. Anyway, they make this HECM loan, and now they've got $250,000 they've got to use for travel or do whatever they want to do.
Correct.
Down the road a couple of years, they pass away. Now the kids have to settle the estate.
Correct. They have 12 months.
They have 12 months. Okay. The kids, there's a $250,000 HECM loan on this house. And let's say the value of the house has dropped from 500 to 400.
Right.
So now there's a $100,000 shortfall.
Correct.
On the value. So happens?
So what happens if we're using the 200 to 400? The kids will get the equity, the difference between the loan, $250,000, and what they can sell it for. So that'll be the children's inheritance.
So they would get the $150,000.
Right. But what if they bought a home for $500,000? So, or they have a home for $500,000, they harvest $250,000, they live into their 90s, okay? They never get kicked out. Okay? They can live in it until they both pass away. If they get remarried, the new person can live in it until they pass away as well. So what if that loan goes to $500,000? And they can only sell the house for $400,000. The kids would then essentially have to take a loss in the old days. Now it's insured. The FHA insurance kicks in and pays that loss off. The kids walk away with no loss.
Okay. What, one of the other things is when you do this HECM loan, you're still obligated to pay the property tax.
You are an insurance and do have the house in good order.
Okay. And you got to maintain the home, like keep the roof up, keep the siding up and stuff. You know, one of the concerns, Carl and I, in doing a lot of estate planning and working with our clients who retire, one of the real concerns a lot of my clients have who have been in a house for 40 years, and they put new roofs on it, they've maintained the house, but now their property tax is way more than the mortgage payments they were paid.
No kidding, I know.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Most of my clients are paying more in property tax now than they paid in mortgage payments to buy their house.
Right, right. I can't do anything about the property taxes. All I can do is help them get the equity out that they need to enjoy life.
Okay, but they still are obligated for insurance, property tax, and maintenance.
And upkeep, correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Which you would be anyhow if you live there.
Right. Yeah. And the bottom line is, remember, we want these people to age in place because our industry, the nursing care industry, is so expensive when you go out of your home. Okay? You're talking $8,000, $6,000, $10,000 a month. It's a lot. But if you do it in home, it's usually half that cost.
You know, if the person has long-term care coverage where they have in-home services, that still doesn't affect them doing a HECM loan, right?
Doesn't affect it at all. That's correct.
Okay, and so they could virtually be on home care,
right?
Have this home equity,
mm-hmm.
and turn around and do a HECM loan and pull out 50% of the value.
Correct. Or more.
Or more. Mm-hmm. They could pull out more than 50%.
It's based on age now. So age 62, they're going to be getting out about 40%. At age 95, they can get out about
95%.
95%? Yeah.
Okay, so
take it back. 74%.
This brings up.
I apologize. 74%. Bad okay. calculation in my head there.
Okay. Well, so we've got a client who's 70 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Does a HECM loan. How much can they get out at 70?
About 50%.
Okay, about 50%. Go down the road another 10 years.
Okay.
And they've got this loan. They got this HECM loan out there. Now their house is appreciated in value.
Right.
The house that was $500,000 is now $800,000.
Mm-hmm.
Can they go back and say, listen, we only have a 50% loan for $250,000. Our house is now worth $800,000. We'd like to get another $150,000.
They can. They can actually refi their HECM to another HECM or their old reverse mortgage. I'm doing this a lot. To their new home equity conversion mortgage, which is safer and has a better rate of return for them.
But that sounds like a heck of a good idea.
It does.
Yeah.
For most people.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I'm sorry. I couldn't resist saying that. Hey, listen, if you've got a question about this, you could tell I need some help. So give me a call here. 503-417-9595. Toll free 877-733-1011. We got to have a little fun too, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, our listeners, this is a... I hate to say this, but this is really a serious subject because there are a lot of people in America today. I just did a podcast on the great retirement train wreck that's coming.
Yeah.
And you talk about, you know, there's 10,000 people turning 70 every day.
62.
Well, 70 also,
yeah,
because
that's right.
of Social Security and people taking it. And it's an avalanche. This baby boom explosion is coming through. It's an avalanche, folks. And it may not affect you personally, but I guarantee it protects. It affects somebody in your family.
Absolutely.
Nobody's going to go unscathed.
And the other issue is we have 5% of our society who can afford and who has long-term care insurance in place. That's 5%. What are we going to do about the other 95%?
Wow, only 5%?
Mm-hmm. And most people, as you're well aware, as a financial planner, 70% of our clients out there have enough. Maybe. Not even close, really. If you don't have over $500,000 in assets, you're probably going to need to look at this as part of your financial plan because the average nursing care cost, the average injury, Fidelity says, they did a research study, said that $249,000 is the average expense for a senior after 70. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, so if you got a couple, you're looking at $500,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And listen, medical care costs are not going down.
They're not.
Yeah, they're not going down. You guys got a question?
Well, I do, and I'm not picking on you. So somebody wants to do a loan, and maybe they're on the edge of it. You know, they're barely qualified. Let's call it that way. And so somebody's got to pay you. How does that work? Don't you get paid for adjusting this, making this mortgage?
Oh, absolutely.
How do you if there's very little money to get it, how do you get paid?
Our asking. Company makes 2% on those loans.
Oh. Okay. So
just like any mortgage loan, we make about 2%.
So it comes out of the mortgage.
Yeah.
Okay. So in other words, my point was nobody has to come up with a fee to hand you money to make this loan.
In fact, that's a great question.
Well, and we're going to come right back with that, Michael. Because if you want to listen to this, we're going to come right back. We're going to take a quick break and come right back with Investing Simplified and have Michael talk about how they're compensated. And listen, folks, this is something that affects everybody. You need to pick up the phone and call and ask a question.
Price Financial Group, Wealth Management.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
This is our Spotlight on Business, where we bring you an expert on the latest in the financial world, from residential real estate to commercial property or to property tax relief. Buying or selling a business or residential property financing? Get your answers here. Now, here is our special guest,
Michael Standard with Reverse Mortgage Specialist. And Michael, you were saying about
fees. Yeah.
Fees.
It's really important. I'm glad you brought that up, Carl, is that we have the opportunity here with these seniors to educate them, which is great because 17% of our seniors know about this. The rest of them don't. 83% have no idea. So when they go through this process, they don't pay any fees out of pocket. It all comes out of their equity. So I use the analogy of you're planting, you're buying seeds, okay, to plant in your garden to harvest something.
Okay.
So, but it's all your fruit. It's all your vegetables. So in this situation, they would be paying between 4% and 5%, including the FHA insurance. So about the same as it would cost to sell their house. That's their fee, but it comes out of the equity, not out of their pocket.
Yeah, and so they don't really ever see it go out of their, because by the time, usually they're deceased by the time they would see that part
exactly.
Of it. In the process of getting this kind of a loan, I know that in my business, one of the important things is, what are you supposed to bring with you, or what information do you have to provide to the lawyer to help you do your estate planning? So what kind of information do they have to make it possible for you to decide whether or not they can make the loan and how and what the terms are and all that stuff? What do you need from them?
You bet. Good question. So we don't take a pound of flesh. We take a half a pound of flesh this time. Any new loans out there, it's very, very intensive. But here's what we do. We request that they bring their trust, if they have it, every page, of course. Then secondly, we also request that they bring all their financial information that they would use to file taxes, 1099s, and then 2 years of taxes, 2 years of Social Security statements and income statements, and their driver's license and their Social Security card. And we put all that in the machine, essentially, and then we spit out numbers. And it's a proposal initially. We don't know what happens until we go through the next stage, which is really important. And I love this stage, which is they have to pass a HUD counselor's counseling session, essentially. So they have to be interviewed for their mental acuity and that they understand the loan. If they don't pass it or their power of attorney doesn't pass it, they can't get it. Third step is now we go get the appraisal done, an FHA appraisal, which is really tough. And if they pass that, then they can actually get the real underwriting and the real documentation and see what the numbers really look like. Because sometimes if they haven't been good at paying their taxes, or for some reason aren't good at paying their bills on time, there may be some issues there. And FHA and HUD may not allow them to do this loan.
How long does this process usually take?
Usually takes about a month and a half to 2 months.
Okay. So it's not like, I got to have it today. And, you know, so if you're getting foreclosed, don't do this in a week. You know,
right.
It ain't going to happen.
I have helped people out of foreclosure and pre-foreclosure. because they're so far behind because of usually it's really sad. It's a medical issue or a legal battle. Both my clients I'm helping in that situation are struggling, but we're getting them out of it. It's taken a little bit longer because we have to negotiate with the banks for the payoff, but it's to their benefit, and we'll get it done for them, too.
You did say living trust. How do living trusts come into play in this? I do a lot of them. If a person has their home in a living trust, how does that affect the process? If they don't have it in a living trust, how does that affect the process if they want to put it in a living trust?
Well, if they want to put it in a living trust, it's not going to affect the process at all. What happens is we're going to follow, or FHA is going to need to follow, the guidelines and outlines for who's inheriting the property. And once the owners of the home pass away who have a HECM on it, it goes into the process of foreclosure. Okay? And then, which is really important, because then the kids have 12 months to sell the home.
When you say kids...
Or heirs,
okay. Right. So it's whoever they designate, because sometimes kids don't get it all.
Right, right.
So. Well, Michael, Carl brings up a really good point there, because a lot of people, when they're going in to do a refinancing, a lot of the banks won't do a loan if you have the house in a trust. They'll make you take it out of the trust, then do the loan, then you can put it back in the trust. Yeah. And we've had that happen to our clients, so... How do you get around that, or can you?
Well, we do most of the time. Not always. If there's a life estate trust where a child's needing to stay in the home for the rest of their lives, the HECM won't do it for them. We can't do that.
Are there any limitations on the use of the money?
There are no limitations on the use of the money.
Oh, good. So maybe if I wanted to, buy a 1967 Shelby Cobra, I could do that?
Yeah, as long as you take me for a drive.
Good. Yeah. Hey, I'm retiring tomorrow, guys.
As long as you throw a party so we all get to take turns driving it, you can do that.
Oh.
Yeah.
And there's something else that changed with this new home equity conversion mortgage through HUD, is that they also do a financial assessment. And we talked about that for qualification. And also, the same-sex couples can also have these, as long as they're married. Okay. And the non-borrowing spouse can also... be included in this. And let me explain that, because this is really important. So if you're 74 and your wife is 54, she's not 62. The qualifying age is 62. So you would be the owner of the HECM. But since she is married to you, she can live in the house until she passes. And if she turns 62 and you've passed, she can get on the loan. But at 62, we can put her on the loan. Okay. And if she were to remarry a 50-year-old when she's 62, that new spouse can live in the home until they pass as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
They made this a lot easier.
A lot easier. And it's not going to work for everybody, but it's a lot easier. But there's another change they made to it as well. And Fairway Mortgage, who I represent, and my NMLS number is 1674259. We are the second largest in reverse mortgage purchases, or HECM purchases. So a senior can actually do a purchase with this loan. So they can live in Vancouver, Washington, and say, I don't want to live there anymore, and I want to move to Palm Springs. And so they can take whatever assets they have and put 50% down, and then the HECM would finance the other 50%, and they could live in that house until they pass away, as long as they're there 6 months out of the year. As a primary residence.
Okay, so you're saying somebody could theoretically sell their $500,000 home in Vancouver, mm-hmm, buy a $800,000 home in Palm Springs.
With $400,000 down approximately.
And keep the other $100,000 to spend, buy furniture and stuff.
Right.
And they could live in that home and just pay the property tax and insurance and they're fine.
That's right.
Wow.
And the objective of this, again, is to have people have more cash available so they won't go on to Medicaid. Have them buy long-term care insurance. Have them do something smart for their estate. And they actually leave about 40% more if they don't use, if they don't have to go on to Medicaid, but if they use their money wisely.
So that's a good question. So, well, if they do go into Medicaid, what happens?
Well, then they would talk to a lawyer.
Okay.
And, the lawyer would help them divide the estate properly. And any money that's coming out of the HECM, if they're taking income, okay, is tax-free, by the way. And so it wouldn't affect the person who's on Medicaid, because they're not receiving income. If they do, it's $2,000 a month. Anything over $2,000 a month, then Medicaid would take that. But upon passing, okay, the house goes to into foreclosure, to FHA, to the children, and then Medicaid is third for payment.
FHA has first call.
Yeah, they get
call.
Their loan paid off, yeah.
Okay. So the children get the equity before, they get it before Medicaid?
That's correct.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because Medicaid has a
Medicaid attaches.
Yeah,
right.
The Medicaid people. There's a special unit with the Department of Human Resource or Human Services here in Oregon, and every state has one of these kinds of things. And it's a collection part. It's a state recovery, is what it's called. And so, anytime that somebody dies, generally speaking, they get wind of it, and they have to, and they send you a bill, and they say, you know, you've been using Medicaid for the non institutionalized, or your spouse has been getting Medicaid, and you know, now they don't get that bill when the spouse is still living in the house, but the kids get the bill after they die, and it can be huge. I mean, I've seen huge bills come out of that. So this basically also limits that in a sense.
It does in a sense, and each state's going to be a little different with their laws, but the benefit is, if they use this ahead of time, this had come ahead of time.
Yeah, before the Medicaid approval.
And they do something wise with it. Buy a annuity with a long-term care rider if they can't qualify regularly. Buy long-term care if they can qualify. And maybe even buy life insurance. Do something safe and smart with a portion of their cash. Then they're going to avoid that, which is why HUD wants seniors to look at this as an option for aging in place and an option for just living a better life. It's important they consider it.
Yeah, it makes sense because, look, the government knows the potential devastation of this market. It could be unbelievable.
Yeah.
And there's just too many baby boomers going through the system.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, on my podcast, I talked about the great trend wreck coming for retirement. The average person today over 65 who is facing retirement has around $130,000 in retirement funds, which means that's going to generate them about $600 a month plus Social Security.
Right.
So that's not a pretty picture.
No. And with this new HECM product, they have three ways to harvest cash for a safety boat for their future. One is they can take a lump sum. One is they can do a line of credit, okay, which sits there until they spend it. The other is they can annuitize their home and take monthly payments. So there's three options for them, or they can blend all three if they need to, which is very beneficial for them. Also, one other point, a lot of seniors I've talked with and work with, they have, you know, children they want children to inherit their home. And the fun part is that they can make that happen if they do smart things with their funds, life insurance, other vehicles that help them, their children pay off the debt if they want to keep their home, because the kids have 12 months to pay to sell the home. But they also can purchase the home, okay, at 95% of value. They can also qualify, if they're over 62, to assume that reverse mortgage, that HECM loan themselves, so they could keep the home if they wanted to. Most children don't. Most children just would prefer to sell the home. You know, they interviewed 100 seniors coming out of a shopping mall in the Midwest, and they said, what do you want to do with your home? And 95% of them said, I want it to go to my children. Want them to live in my home. They interviewed the children of those 100 people, and 95% of those people said, those children said, I'm going to sell their home, of course, because I don't really want to live in it.
You know, if you think about that, Carl, we know that to be true in our experiences with our clients, because very, very seldom, I can only think of one child that I can think of our clients that when the parents passed away, the child actually lived in the house and has maintained the house.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, at this point, it's looking like that was a pretty good deal because the house has really went up in value. And so, I understand that. I mean, if you think about it, it'd be kind of hard to go live in your parents' home. It really would be hard.
Yeah, it would be difficult.
Yeah.
And do you guys also realize that there's $6.8 trillion today in equity in seniors' homes? And if we took just $1 trillion of it, if those seniors just took $1 trillion of it and bought long-term care insurance, we wouldn't have a Medicaid epidemic.
Yeah. Well, with that, we're going to come right back. And then Kevin Stege's got a comment to make. And we'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Price Financial Group, Wealth Management.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Coulson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin, 503-417-9595, or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers.
Okay, Kevin Stege. You had a question for Mike?
Yeah, so I was just going to say he talked about the amortization earlier, so that got me quite interested, of course. Those are good things for the accountant. So the term is open on the amortization on that until it's paid off.
That's correct.
Correct. And then current mortgage rates are roughly between 4 and 5%. Roughly, what's the interest on that? And does it change or can it change?
Well, regular interest rates have changed quite a bit. We're at 5 to 5.25 almost out there. So on a regular loan. But on these, you're going to pay about half a point more because of the FHA insurance. So you're looking at about 5.25 to 5.5.
Half a point's not too bad.
Okay, we've got a caller on the line. It's got a question about reverse mortgages. And Judith, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And your question?
I'd like to know if a reverse mortgage can be used for a condominium.
Yes, it can.
Okay.
It can also be used for manufactured homes, as long as they're not in a trailer park and they own their own property.
All right. Now, I live in the Virgin Islands, and would that be available down there?
I would have to check. I am not absolutely sure on that.
Okay. And I did not get your name. Can you again tell me?
Yes, it's Michael Standard.
All right. And at the number that I called?
No, I'm at 360-690-5278.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you, Judith, for the question.
Hey, Judith, how did you happen to catch our show?
Well, I listened to it last week, and I made a special note to pay attention this week so I could hear the reverse mortgage.
Well, great.
I had heard a spiel on it many years ago, and I did not go for it. But I was interested because you did say that there were some revisions as of October.
Yeah, quite a few.
In 2017. So I definitely was interested. It seems much improved. Would you contact HUD to do this? Or?
Well, you can go right to HUD, and they will send you to an approved HECM provider, which would be someone at Fairway.
Uh-huh.
And then they will walk you through the process. And if it fits and if it works for you, then you'd go through HUD counseling, and then they would do the appraisal. And then if it all pencils out correctly for you, then you can actually get the loan.
All right. Well, I thank you very much for the information.
Thanks, Judith. Thanks for giving us a call. Appreciate it.
Okay.
We also have another caller on line, Mike. Mike's got a question about reverse mortgage. Mike, your question?
Hi. Yes, I have two questions. You said that if you were same-sex marriage, you could do it as long as you were married?
That's correct.
Well, my girlfriend and I have owned this house for 20 years together. We're both on the loan, but we are not married.
Okay.
Do you have to be married?
I would have to talk with the lawyer about that, but usually it is because they're married, but in certain states...
Well, they're in Oregon, and they've been together for 20 years and has shared the house, and although they're not legally married. Under the state of Oregon, are they considered married?
No.
Okay.
No, it's a little more complicated than that. Oregon is not a what they call a common law marriage state. But it's interesting. This is kind of like the same question I got the other day on a case. But sometimes a non-married couple can, by virtue of their conduct and their way of living and their, you know, statements to the world and one another, create essentially what amounts to a partnership. And in that case, then there may very well be that, but it's not a marriage in that sense. So,
well, you can Mike, you can take Michael Standard's number and call him, and he can check it out for you with Fairway and see if what they can do or how you can resolve that, okay, if you can.
All right, that's great. And he works at the name of his company is?
Fairway Independent Mortgage. We're the fifth largest mortgage provider in the nation, and my number is 360-690-5278.
Terrific. Okay, now there has to be a downside to this. Would you mention the downsides?
You bet. There's really three. One, you don't qualify. You can't pass the test. That's the downside. Two, if you're really ill, and you're the only person in the home, that's probably not a wise thing to do, right? Three, if you have a dependent child who needs to stay in the home and cannot work. So that would be the other. Because when you pass away, when the last person turns out the lights, then the home has to be sold and FHA mortgage has to be paid off.
Okay. So the fact that your firm is in Washington doesn't have anything to do with homeowners or anything in the state of Oregon. They're interchangeable, so to speak?
That's correct. I'm licensed in both states, Oregon and Washington.
All right.
And we're licensed
great.
Nationally. Yep.
Terrific. And your last name again?
Standard, just like oil. Standard
okay.
Oil.
All right. Thank you very much, fellas. I appreciate
great.
It.
Great. Thanks, Mike. Good question. We've got another caller on the line. Cher has got a question about reverse mortgages. Or excuse me, it's Joan. Joanne? Is it Joanne? Okay, Joanne?
Yes.
And your question?
We have a reverse mortgage. We live in Oregon, and last year we had a house fire. The house was not totally destroyed, but there was so much damage that we ended up having to have it demolished. Well, what's happening is our reverse mortgage company is dragging their feet. We've only got the house a little less than half built. And they're just doling out the money a little here, a little there. And, of course, they're working with our insurance company, who has decided not to pay us. They call it an incurred expense when we reach that. Well, how do you do this? Because we can't keep the build going without money. And now our reverse mortgage has $66,000 of our money, and we call them all the time. They never call back. They don't return our emails. And what my question is there a governing body that looks over these reverse mortgage companies?
There is. It's called HUD, and you can actually go to their site, hud.gov/, and look up Heckam Mortgage. And they will give you some numbers to call, because it certainly sounds like an attorney should get involved.
Well,
in that.
Yeah, it does to me too. You might consider calling the insurance commissioner, because it seems to me that the big problem may be the insurance, not the mortgage company. But there are some lawyers who do a lot of insurance type law, and I'm not one of them, but they do. And so if you got to the point where you really got, you know, really had to push and get things going, or suffer a great loss, then you want to maybe consult with an attorney who does, you know, some insurance law.
Well, wouldn't the insurance company in that case, where they have to have fire coverage on the house,
correct,
and protections, wouldn't that be the responsibility of the insurance company?
It is. That's why they have, that's why FHA requires that they pay the property taxes and
okay.
that they have homeowner's insurance. So it would be the insurance
company.
Yeah,
so I think the problem there is your insurance company. They should be paying off and giving you the money to rebuild that house.
Yeah, somehow or other, our reverse mortgage company is involved in this now, I guess because they're the secure holders on the house. We actually did get an attorney, and he's having all kinds of trouble. This has been going on. We got an attorney like 90 days after the whole thing happened. We also got a public adjuster, which I'd recommend to anyone that's involved in a fire, because insurance companies notoriously want to say, oh, no, you don't have coverage on that. And this guy's already gotten us money that we would never have seen.
But it's pretty despicable what's going on. And I think there's some collusion between the insurance company and the mortgage people. And the insurance company, they just don't want to pay their claims. We have a $360,000 claim, and they just don't want to pay it. It's real obvious. So we're working on it, but it's extremely slow. But I would warn people to take out their homeowner's policy and make sure the coverage is where it should be, because a lot of people are underinsured, because nowadays they just sell a price per year or every 6 months premium. We don't really get into what are you getting for this. And basically we came out slightly uninsured, but it wouldn't have been enough to do what this is doing to us. So just there's just a heads up there also. So someone that's been in a fire.
Yeah, did you have full replacement value on your home?
I believe we did, but the amount of money was not where it should have been. So I'll tell you, it's very stressful, and my husband ended up having a TIA over this. The stress is just extreme. We're living, we got a rental house through the insurance company, but that's over with. They won't pay out anymore. So we're moving into our trailer at the end of this month. So it's a nice trailer, but still, it's not our house.
Well, the points you're bringing up are pretty valid, because I know that you've got to really be careful in your homeowner's coverage to make sure you get full replacement value, and a lot of the companies don't want to insure your house for full replacement value. You have to fight with them on it. And I just did this with the insurance company that I have and fought with them on the value of the house, and I basically got a contractor to write me a letter, and I sent it to him on what he would rebuild it for, because they didn't want to insure it for the value that I thought it was, and I want a full replacement value. So you've just a warning out there to everybody. You got to, you know, CYA, cover your assets and make sure you're protected. So just make sure that you have enough coverage and the proper coverage, because insurance companies are in business to make money. And yeah, they're going to insure you, but again, you may have to fight for your rights. So, and here's proof of that. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We're going to take one more quick break and come right back and end up the show. But listen, if you've got a question, pick up the phone, because we've got about 15 minutes to answer questions. And you can reach us at 503-417-9595, toll free 877-733-1011. You're listening to Investing Simplified Radio.
We do Investing Simplified.
Hello, my name is Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney and co-host of the long-running radio talk show, Investing Simplified. My law practice emphasizes estate planning and probate. My mission statement is practical estate planning for peace of mind. This means that I listen carefully to my clients. I explain the various estate planning techniques and documents in the most understandable terms that I can. I try to make sure that my clients are comfortable with what we are doing together before proceeding, and I discuss my fees up front so that clients don't get any unwanted surprise. Estate planning and probate don't have to be that complicated. My experienced staff and I work closely with our clients to guide them through both of these matters in the simplest and most efficient manner possible. My office is located in the White Office Building at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, right across the street from Mall 205. My telephone number is 971-229-0585, and my website is carljepsonlaw.com.
Investments, tax questions, or legal concerns? Get them all answered now, for free. Call Chuck, Kevin, or Carl for your answers. Call 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the Knowledge Trust.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. In studio with us today is Michael Standard, Reverse Mortgage Specialist, and Kevin Stege, Baker Coastal CPA Firm, and Carl Jepson and Chuck Price. We're all here. We got a full house. So if you got a question, pick up the phone, call us. But I want to get back to reverse mortgages. Michael, one of the things is that we were talking about that you could get this HECM loan against your home, mm-hmm. but you could also use it as kind of like an investment account or a savings account, because what if I don't need money right now, but 2 years from now I might need money, so I could get this set up have the money available, and then I could use it whenever I want to?
That's correct, Chuck. One of the important things that HUD did with this is they set it up so people, once they do this transaction, they just pay their transaction fees out of their equity. Number two, if they have just a line of credit, okay? So you've got the loan balance, let's say it's $20,000, and you have a line of credit of $200,000. Whatever the interest rate is that's set that month or that year, let's say it's 5%. That line of credit is going to be earning 5%. And then they can harvest cash out after 12 months, okay, tax-free. So they can take money out tax-free. With my investors and with my financial advisors, we work with their investors, they set it up as just a safety net, a lifeline, a lifeboat, essentially. So when they need cash, instead of taking it out of their portfolio, they take it out of the line of credit.
Or do it a home equity loan.
Yeah.
Basically.
But this one, remember, doesn't allow you, you're not forced to make payments unless you want to. So
yeah, so it beats the heck out of a home equity loan.
Right. And the tax person here knows that they've really limited what we can write off now. And you'd still get a 1098 interest statement if you made a payment with this HECM. So if you make a payment, you actually get to write off the interest.
Hey, we've got another caller on the line. Sherry's got a question about reverse mortgages. Sherry, your question?
Yes. Yeah. You're talking about all of the conversation, as far as I can tell, is about the new changes that happened in October 2017, correct?
Right, and other changes as well, correct.
And how does that compare to the old reverse mortgages? And are the old reverse mortgages all government sanctioned, or are there mortgage companies out there doing it that are not being monitored by the government?
That's correct. Some of them are by mortgage companies that are not monitored by HUD or the HECM product. And number two, the big changes that we've made is, one, we have to look at the person's financials to see if they can qualify. And they have to go through counseling to make sure they understand the loan. And, of course, now it's insured. But the big issue was that people would take these out and max out the amount of money they could harvest, 80% sometimes. They'd go upside down very quickly because that loan is accruing and they're not making payments. So that's why they made these big changes. They want it to be safer. They want it to be safer for the kids or whoever is inheriting the home who needs to sell it. They want it to be safer for the individuals as they get married and as spouses live in the home, that both spouses can live in the home until they pass.
Yeah, I understand the benefits of this new program a lot. I'm just curious about the people that have already taken out the reverse mortgages in the past, mm-hmm. and are they covered by any of this, or are they a lot more at risk?
We'd have to look at each one of the reverse mortgages, the old reverse mortgages, to see if it's safe or not. And we'd have to do that in person and review the documentation, because each one was a little different. But you can refinance these from the old to the new, if it makes sense.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate the answer.
Good questions. I wonder if that was a problem with the previous caller, Judith, the one that had the fire problem. Maybe she had the old style.
Yeah, she could have, because the new is pretty new, 2017.
Yeah, so she's probably got the old one, and that's where it's creating a problem, because it wouldn't be controlled by the government.
Right. It may not be.
Okay.
Just one quick question back on the interest as listening to all this conversation. And, you know, I think you kind of arrived at it with your last statement there. Really, the key difference between this and like a HELOC loan is the cash flow. Basically, you're still getting money out of your house, but you don't have to make the payments back until a later date. Mm-hmm. You pay just a little bit more in interest rate to for that benefit,
right? To insure it,
exactly. And so that's not a bad thing. On the interest, do you know off the top of your head, is that does it compound?
It does.
It is. Is it simple interest or is it compound interest?
It is simple interest.
Simple interest. Okay, that would be a lot better.
Well, so you know, that brings up an interesting question, Kevin. So if a person had a $500,000 house, took out $250,000, the max they could take out at their age. Now, that loan's going to accumulate interest, right?
That's right, over time.
So their 50% could dwindle.
The 50% won't dwindle, but the loan will grow. And they project average housing appreciation over the last 50 years has been about 3.86, 3.96 nationally. That's not the West Coast. We've been a lot higher than that. So they project, and that's why they've limited the amount people can take out, because they don't want them to go upside down.
Okay, so if they borrowed $250 on a $500,000 house, and let's just say for 10 years, we go out 10 years, the house has grown 4% a year. Now it's a $700,000 house.
Correct.
That $250,000 loan that they took out, though, has accumulated some interest, right?
That's right. It could be a $400,000 loan now.
Okay.
So their kids would still have the equity of $300,000 if they both passed at that time.
Okay.
In that example.
Okay.
The other important thing about the interest, remember on that line of credit, it's accruing interest as well. So that accrual of interest, they can take out. So if you've got $250,000 growing at 5%, that's a pretty good money market rate. And
yeah,
it's safe. And the other key is that when they pull the cash out, it is tax-free, unless they're on Medicaid, and that's a whole different legal issue.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. You know, when you consider the fact that money market rates are about 20 basis points, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, and my investors are using this, again, instead of pulling out of their assets, their investments, they pull out of their equity off the line of credit.
Makes sense. We've got another caller. Carl's got a question about reverse mortgages. Carl, your question?
It's Carol.
Oh, Carol. Sorry about that.
That's fine. I have a question about converting your home into a partial rental. Is that possible?
It is. If you live there as your primary residence, you can actually purchase up to a fourplex as your primary residence with these new home equity conversion mortgages, which is my plan when I hit that magic age, is to build a fourplex or buy a fourplex, put 50% down, live in the home 6 months out of the year in Las Vegas, and then...
Could you convert your own residence into a partial part of it as a rental?
We'd have to look at that, but yes, you should be able to, correct.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Wow, that's great. We got to talk about this. That's a great idea. We got another caller, though. Mark, you got a question about reverse mortgages?
Yes, a couple questions. You said that if you have a mobile home and you own it, you can get this reverse mortgage as well?
Correct, as long as you own the land underneath it. It cannot be in a park where you're renting.
Okay, what about if I own the land and the park?
No, if you're paying space rent, you cannot.
No, I mean, I own the entire park.
He owns a park, and he has a home there that he's living in.
Are you charging yourself rent?
No.
If you're not charging yourself space rent, we could look at that and see if it would qualify. As long as it's 1976 or newer, it would work. FHA guidelines, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Okay, and then also, my mom lives in Colorado, and I want to buy her property, and I know you just work Washington and Oregon, but do you have a reference that I can call to possibly buy her property? And I guess my question would be, can I be a co-signer on that note for her and in the future just actually really make the payments on the HECM loan?
If you are a senior over 62 and you could co-sign with her, yes. And call me at 360-690-5278, and I'll refer you to someone in Colorado.
Very good. And what was your name, sir?
Michael Standard.
Michael, I really appreciate it, and a great show. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mark.
Well, listen, this is the time of the show where we're kind of winding down. We might have time for one more caller, but we're going to quickly go through. And Michael, how does somebody get a hold of you if they need to get a hold of you?
Easiest way to get a hold of me is call me directly at 360-690-5278. I'll say it again. 360-690-5278. Answer the questions.
And we'll have Michael's information in our weekly email newsletter. So if you sign up for our newsletter at my website at pfgwm.com, you can get his information off there. You can contact our office as well. And I can be reached at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, 503-253-3000. Carl, how somebody reach you?
Telephone number is 971-229-0585, and I'm at carljepsonlaw.com.
And I'm Kevin Stege. It can be found at baker-colson.com, 503-666-5569.
And we've got about 50 seconds here, so I'm going to use that shamelessly to promote next week's show. If you know anybody who's having a problem with their health, we're going to talk about investing in your health next week with Sherry McCants. So don't miss our show if you've got a concern about that. She specializes in high blood sugar, helping people with high blood sugar. So don't miss our show next week. And by all means, check our website out. We've got contact information for all of our guests, and especially for Carl and Kevin, that you can get a hold of if you have a question about your estate or about your taxes. God bless you all, and have a great week, and we'll be back next week with Investing Simplified.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.
Price Financial Group Wealth Management.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called Asset Lock. Asset Lock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365 and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers Asset Lock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have Asset Lock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get Asset Lock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Do Investing Simplified.
Call 503-253-3000.